Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, look who it is.
KFNC.
On Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media Station.
ESPN.
97.5.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's a football Friday. Yeah, look what I did there.
You old dog, you switched it up.
Yeah. Hey, it's the first week of the new year where everybody's playing football. College, pro.
Man, this is my favorite time of year. I love when people call us and tell us how stupid we are for our picks. This is so much fun.
Yeah.
It already started last night on Twitter.
Did it?
Yeah. I had one guy was like getting on me because I was down on Kansas City overall. Which, okay, you're really going to hate the rest of my picks then.
There's a lot of fantasy guys that are out there hating on people who drafted Hunt.
Yeah.
And they're probably in the words right now.
Yeah. Hunt and Hill. And I love this because it's just like when baseball season started, right? You remember I made this little old stupid pick with the Rockies making the wild card, and immediately people were hating on me, telling me I didn't know baseball. So we get to do that same thing again, but with football this time.
It's kind of like
picking. I have a feeling, though, you guys are getting as much hate as I will today.
It's kind of like saying Jay Cutler's not that good or the SEC wasn't the best conference. I mean, it all comes to fruition at the end. But
you were super wrong about Jay Cutler.
Early in the year, it's just, you know, you get the armchair quarterbacks that like to be defensive ends and go for the sack.
I will say this, though. I guess we're going to get right into it. I didn't see that coming. I don't think. If you said you saw that coming, you're a damn lie.
No. And
you're
here's the thing.
Damn lie.
Because you think about it, early in the game, think about the opportunities that the Patriots let get away. They get the fumble. They go for it on 4th-and-1. They don't get it. You know, otherwise, they would have had a 14-0 lead, probably.
If I read you the lines, first of all, you'll probably never see Alex Smith have a game like that again this year because this is what he did last year. I mean, he started the year last year. That game against the Chargers, he threw for like 363 yards. He didn't top 270 but one time after that the rest of the year.
I'm glad you remembered that because I wouldn't have gotten that one.
It ain't happening again. So he got his one fantastic 300-plus yard game for the year out of the way, as he did, first game of the year. And then, they were 12-4.
Okay. But here's Sal Palantonio this morning, hopefully only because he was on 4 hours sleep, but on SportsCenter. And they asked him, and he said, first of all, he was, again, with the kind of who am I name dropping kind of thing. Uh-huh. He's like, they were all the Chiefs were stunned because Andy Reid walked into the tunnel and I'm standing right in front of him and he walked right by me. He didn't say he didn't even say hi to me. He walked right by me. I know Andy Reid. He goes, but then I grabbed offensive coordinator Brad Childress. You know what he told me? Maybe now they'll all stop talking about Mahomes because they know Alex Smith is our guy. All right, give it a couple weeks. We'll see how that goes.
Exactly. It's like we talk about with Mike Fiers and some of the other guys. Alex Smith, he will regress to his mean. If I had to bet, I'm going to bet that Alex Smith is the Alex Smith we know versus the Alex Smith that showed up last night. Here's what's crazy, though. If I just read you the box score, just the lines, and you had to pick which quarterback. Yeah. If I gave you two options, Tom Brady and Alex Smith in this game, who are you going to put on who? 267 yards, no touchdowns, a QBR of 35, and an overall rating of 70, or 368, four touchdowns, 90.4 QBR, overall rating of 148.
Anyone that who last said one, Alex Smith was the last one, again, you're a damn lie.
Oh, it was insane. But you know what? I'm so glad that I was wrong and Vegas was wrong and you were wrong and all the experts were wrong. Because how fun was that to watch?
It was fantastic, and it brings the parity back to the NFL fun. In week one.
Yeah.
You just had the prop bet the other day and said, well, what's more likely to happen? The Patriots finally losing a game between like weeks 6 and 10?
Yeah.
Losing their first game? Well, guess what? I loved AJ's tweet last night. It was last night or this morning. It said, okay, now the Jets, Bears, and Browns all have a better chance of going 16-0 than the Patriots.
That's a great tweet.
That's fantastic.
God, that is a great tweet.
Because it does. It just gives everybody a chance to breathe again in the NFL because everybody that we're going to do our picks later.
Yeah.
But everybody that did picks, everybody's like, well, it's just a foregone conclusion. The Patriots are in the Super Bowl. They could go undefeated. Well, not anymore.
Somebody just texted the show. There goes Barry again talking about his life. What does that mean?
We didn't even do a twab.
I don't know what that means.
We're just talking sports.
And then someone, OU Mike said, I will do my best to equally distribute the hate. Well, that's good. But Joshua immediately fires off the tweet. I'm a huge Chiefs fan and never saw that coming. I'm with you, Josh. No one saw that coming last night, but my God, I was so excited. I passed out of obviously because I had the 1 hour of sleep, but I watched it. I finished watching it this morning. And it's just the fact to see the Patriots be humbled in week one.
For a week.
Yeah, for a week. And to just stop it just gives you some excitement for it reinvigorates you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm so ready for the season
because of
that.
I'm with you.
And
you humbled the Patriots for a week. Can you humble the Patriots fans for a week?
No,
but by the way, if you watch Twitter, the fans of the two teams, obviously the Chiefs fans are on top of the world, and they're already talking about, you know, which they should be. But all the Patriots fans are just like, just you wait. It's only been 1 week. We're going to be back with vengeance now. Now we really got motivation. Man,
right.
Every year, if you need motivation, go get it externally. But you're still a damn good football team, and your division sucks.
Gilbert, with a meme, the Patriots currently have the worst record in the NFL.
See, and I love that, too.
It'll never get old for me. None of that will get old.
Brian Barrett, who obviously fills in on this side, occasionally, but does the show with Salisbury, is just in mourning today.
Oh, I bet.
And I was like, wow, dude, how great was that? As a Boston fan, you got Curt Schilling in there early on yesterday. He's like, yeah. I go, oh, that's right. Oh, then you got the Patriots.
Yeah. Marky Mark came in there and felt the vibrations, and they still lost.
Did you see him introduce them?
Yeah, it was terrible.
Awful. And as an actor, act like you know how to be an announcer. His voice kept going up higher and higher. And he was like, you're New England Patriots! I was like, oh my God, Mark Wahlberg.
Can we talk for a minute, though, about team speed?
Oh, yeah.
I think everyone saw Hill last year and thought, okay, he could be something pretty special. I didn't expect the Chiefs as a unit, as an entire team, to be as fast as they are.
Mm-hmm.
We knew Hunt might have been, you know, you expected him, a lot of people, I shouldn't say you, a lot of people expected Hunt to do some pretty special things, but
not right, I don't think not in the first game.
I thought
they thought it would take a little time to settle in. I mean, he played at Toledo.
Yeah, 148 yards rushing, 98 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. Hill goes off for 133 yards receiving and a touchdown. Had that one deep, 75 yards?
Two great things. One,
just
by
ridiculous.
The way, would you have picked that Hunt would have 246 total yards or whatever
Hell
it is?
No.
Then, I think it was NFL on NBC did a thing where they showed Usain Bolt running the 100
that.
And they put where Hill would be in accordance
that
to it.
That is nuts. As a high schooler.
Yeah.
Top 6 world-class speed as a high schooler. But just the Chiefs in general looked like a fast team. Much faster than I expected them to be. I mean, you know, even on defense, speaking of, I saw this morning, Eric Barrett probably lost for the season.
No, it's confirmed.
Did they confirm it now?
Yeah, confirmed Achilles tendon tear. He's out for the year.
When did they confirm? Because, like, as of 10 o'clock, it was.
Yeah, right after Ian Rappaport and the NFL Network was all reporting it.
Which is bad, man, because now they're saying that Daniel Sorensen, and if you said who, yeah, exactly. BYU, I think he was undrafted free agent. It's his fourth season. That's a big loss for that Chiefs defense. A really good defense.
Think about it. He made the fourth and one stop.
I mean,
he comes up as a run stopper, too. He can do it all for them. That's a huge loss. But, you know, it's funny. You were talking about the team speed. And look, the fact that you can move Travis Kelce out to the wide, split him out wide.
Says a lot.
And really get a big matchup.
Yep.
But the thing that stuck in my mind was in pregame, they interviewed Travis Kelce, and he's like, you know, Andy Reid made me a captain in the playoff game, and that changed me. That changed me. It made me more mature. Made me know that I can't do the things that I've done in the past that's really, you know, been immature. And then what does he do? In the middle of a pile, he jams the ball in the New England guy's grapes and gets a 15-yard penalty. Yeah, it changed you, Travis, for what, 5 minutes?
Yeah, and he shows up for 40 yards total receiving. Not
crazy.
Great. Yeah. The Barry thing, and he also was a big reason why Gronkowski was held to, to two
especially
catches and
33
yards. That could be a big deal for this team, man. If I mean, they got a great performance from that defense, which I did expect the defense to be pretty good this year. I didn't expect their offense to be that good because I still don't have a lot of faith in Alex Smith. But he's got some weapons. We'll see how well that he utilizes them. But Justin Houston showed up big for that defense. But Eric Berry could be a pretty big loss for that secondary.
Yeah, especially since Tom Bahali's out at least 6 weeks. That some people are guesstimating, they're not sure he's going to come back.
Yeah.
You know, Houston looked good for the linebacking core, but yeah, that he's the leader of their defense in a lot of ways. Losing Eric Berry for the year.
Didn't he? I mean, you think last year about some of the plays that dude made. Didn't he return a two-point conversion?
Yep.
He had a pick six that he ran back for a touchdown.
Yep.
So not just defensively from, you know, from a run stopper standpoint and coverage shutting down other teams' tight ends. He made great plays last year, so
no
we'll
question.
See.
Snap, we see you on the phones. We'll get to you after the break. We got a busy show today, but we'd love to have you be a part of it. 713-780-3776, HR&P listener line. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter, at the producer Nick. I promise he's here. He's just really busy. We're going to get him in next segment. At Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. Usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects with a busy show. We are going to have a Jacksonville beat writer on for you, Ryan O'Halloran, later on today so we can talk Texans-Jags. We're going to have Jake Kaplan of The Chronicle on as he talks Astros. And, of course, Charlie Pulillo joins us at 1:30. But before we get to all that, you know how concerned and focused we have been on Hurricane Harvey and recovery. And now the Houston Food Bank is partnering with radio stations across Houston to try and make a difference today. And it's a great way that you can be a part of the help and serve that this community has done such a great job with so far. Houston radio stations teaming up all day to raise funds for the Houston Food Bank. All funds that are raised today will stay local. It'll help nourish our community, help providing food and supplies to those who need it most. Go to HoustonFoodBank.org/Houston Radio to make a monetary donation. HoustonFoodBank.org/Houston Radio. Heal, help, rebuild. That's HoustonFoodBank.org/Houston Radio. Wicked, what? I know I can make a read every now and then. Now, could I only make a play? That's the difference, Nick. Nick!
I had to get you them turntables that
no
you always
doubt.
Give me when I screw up.
I completely took a Ginsu knife to that one.
Hey, just a reminder. Remember Ike a couple days ago wanted us to answer a question he had about being a husband or whatever?
Hurricane Ike?
Yep. Yeah. So he's going to ask it. So we're going to save that for later. Ike, we got a ton of stuff to get to. But during the show, I promise you, before the show is over, Ike will answer your question. I think it was what makes a good husband or what's the role of a husband. Yeah. So I'll have him resend what the exact question
notes.
Is.
I'm just going to take notes. Yeah.
Well, I'll help you.
Okay, I appreciate that. That'll really go over like a fart in church.
Because, you know, I mean, I'm only on my second marriage, so I'm obviously a great husband.
That'll work out well. At least it picks up the mother-in-law at like 2 o'clock, so I'll need that going into the weekend. Nick, you're with us.
I am here.
Yeah, you What's have had on? A busy morning. Everything good?
A little bit. You know, it's that time of year. It's, you know, football is here, so all the last-minute stuff that you got to do for the football season is just got me running around crazy, but we're
Jack,
here.
Jack of all trades, 7 day Nick. We're going to call you 7 day because that's what you are. You're 7 days a week now.
Well,
so you're booking stringers for the big NFL weekend.
Yep.
You're doing all the stuff that you do for us.
Yep.
And you're going to be covering the Texans on Sunday.
I will be.
And would you tell everybody how they can catch you for some great college football information on Saturdays?
Every Saturday from 2 to 4 Central, 3 to 5 Eastern, myself and Matt Hara will be doing a, it's not necessarily a college football show, but obviously it's a Saturday from 2 to 4. It's going to be college football heavy. So if you're a college football fan and you want to tune into the network, SBNationRadio.com, Matt Hara and myself every Saturday from 2 to 4 Central.
Why did you give the Eastern times?
For the network, for the national
people. Because he's worldwide,
people.
Yo.
Everyone here is Central.
But he's worldwide.
Hearing your voice.
He's
worldwide,
we've got
but
listeners,
people carry
we've
the
got
app.
Listeners outside of Houston that listen on the app.
Let me just tell you, there's a huge fan base up there in Wisconsin that likes to listen on a daily basis.
Are they Eastern?
No, they're Central.
Oh, well, okay then. Yeah. I stand corrected.
But they could travel to the East Coast, you know.
We got one guy in Florida. I get it.
He's getting out.
That's right.
There's a storm.
Yeah, he's probably
there's a storm
Central.
Brewing.
He's
right
now.
Out.
That's right.
All right, so we covered a little bit of the Patriots and the Chiefs, but a big football weekend coming up. So we've got a lot to get to there. We've also got the Astros to get to because the Astros are back on the field. And, oh, by the way, this just in, Cleveland Indians aren't going away. We thought it would be the Red Sox. It's the Indians. They've won 15 in a row. And one thing that we have to keep in mind here, the Astros have a 3-game lead on the Indians, right? Depending on how you look at it, you know, between the lost column and whatever. But here's the problem. They won the season series against the Astros, so essentially it's only two. Because if they tie,
that's right,
it goes to the Indians for winning the season series.
You are correct, sir.
So as big a lead as they had in the division, it is hyper important right now that they win and take advantage of these games. Every game's important, and especially games against teams like the A's who aren't going anywhere and are just trying to get young talent on the field. They got to take advantage. They got a game tonight with the McHugh going. They got a doubleheader tomorrow. Then they got a game on Sunday. So this 4-game series with the A's, they got to take care of business.
Yeah, they do. We'll talk more with Palillo about them, right, in the A's series and stuff. You want to do Snap real quick before he hangs up?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot about Snap.
No worries.
Snap wants to get a little football talking here. Snap, what's up?
Hey, man. with everything going on, you know, and then I think the whole last week and a half is kind of a brain fog for everybody. We don't know if we're winding our butts or scratching our watches. So this, y'all may have already hit on this earlier in the week, but did I read somewhere that Brock Osweiler is now the quarterback, probably not starting, but for Denver? I mean,
correct.
He can't make it on Cleveland, and he loses his position to a rookie. So a guy that's 6 or 7 years in is, I just don't understand that. Can y'all explain that to me? You think NFL's trying to save face because they paid him $87 million for about 16 quarters of work?
No, I appreciate the call, Snap. No, I don't think that's the case. I think what you're seeing is, one, Osweiler is familiar with the system.
Yeah.
So he gives them a guy that knows the system. I would love to say he's not going to start for that team. I don't know how much faith anyone else has in Trevor Siemian. That remains to be seen. I think Siemian is better than Brock Osweiler. But Simeon's not a guy that's going to set the league on fire necessarily. Osweiler is just a guy. I mean, he's a guy that knows the system, that they got at a good value because they didn't have to pay him because he's already getting paid by the Browns because that contract isn't going away. So he's making his money. And the Browns are paying him, so it's a kind of a no lose situation for Denver.
Yeah, I mean, look, they drafted him for a reason. They drafted him because they were high on him coming out of college. So they've seen some things that maybe other teams didn't see, or they see some ability and a chance to maybe rehabilitate him and work on a lot of things that we talked about for over a year, which was you got to go back to basics, you got to get back to mechanics, you got to go back to perfecting your delivery, those kind of things. But they got Paxton Lynch too. So, you know, and they drafted him very
high. That's a good point.
So you got to take that into consideration, too. I mean, they like Brock enough to know if they're going to carry three quarterbacks and they don't have a stud one right now, that they'll take the insurance. But Paxton Lynch is probably the guy in waiting. So
he's hurt, though. I think he's got a bum shoulder.
Yeah, he got hurt in the preseason. Yeah. He's going to miss a couple of games. So it's probably more so than anything else. It's kind of like a security blanket until they get their regular guys back. Then it'll be interesting to see if he lasts the whole year.
Yeah. Yeah, carrying three and carrying Brock, I don't know if that makes sense.
The new thing in the NFL is carrying two, as we've seen.
Yeah, I finally caught up on my Hard Knocks.
I did not. I was going to do it last night, and then I started watching that.
I watched any of it, man.
Spoiler alert.
Clips online. That's all I'm watching.
You got me on the spoiler alert just because I talked about Riley Bulla, but
yeah,
I haven't watched it yet.
Let me know that
they didn't make it.
They cut Joe Dirt.
Yeah.
Well, they put him on the practice squad.
Oh, I was going to ask you, did they? Yeah. Did he come back?
Yeah, they put him on the practice squad, and I won't ruin it for you. Just go watch the episode, and then we can maybe discuss it on Monday.
So let me ask you this, because I haven't seen it yet, but we can talk about it next week, and I'll catch up, and I promise. But one thing that I kept thinking about throughout the show, one, do you think that that team watches that during preseason? Do you think that if they have time at all, they're watching it?
You know how I know? Who was the dude that said something about the cicadas coming every 2 years?
Oh, the receiver.
Yeah, I forget his name. Two episodes later, he mentioned it as if that's what he was known for. They absolutely watch it. Because how would he have known that would have even made the show? And because they cut so much out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, when he was out there with the glasses.
He probably saw it and got reaction from fans and Twitter and everything like that. So just kind of like, what was his name with the Sox?
Our guy, Charles, what was the defensive back for the Texans
name?
That wore the Sox, Nick?
I forget his name now.
Charles James?
Yes.
Charles James?
Yeah,
Charles James. But the reason why I asked that too is, it's okay when you're talking about things like that, kind of the off the field stuff. But when you're Riley Bulla, and you know that your linebacker coach comes into a meeting and goes, yeah, you know, I love his intangibles and I love his leadership, but boy, those hips are not going to change. And that's probably the reason why he's not going to, you know, make it in this league or something like that. I'm like, damn, you talk about harsh realities as part of that show. If you're watching it during camp, you're like, man, I'm kicking ass in camp. And then you watch that and go, man, maybe our coaches don't think so.
Right.
That hurts.
Yeah, that does suck. And then but he talked about when he made the practice squad, he talked about how he comes from, you know, his brother had made the Texans practice squad before he made the team, Max Bulla.
So
he was like, yeah, I kind of figured most of the guys, a lot of Michigan State guys are on the practice squad before they make it to the NFL. So I found that to be interesting. It's almost like he expected it. But the way that they edited it early on, you thought, oh, this kid's making the team. Oh, he's got these leadership skills and everything else. But then, you start seeing the coaches
Charles James, same thing. Everybody thought he was going to make it, didn't make it.
Yep.
You had him. And I want to say that Rex Burkhead was the guy when they did the one on the Bengals, when they did Hard Knocks with the Bengals. When he was back with the Bengals, there was it might have been him, might have been somebody else, but there's always that underdog sleeper story. But more times than not, everybody gets all emotional on them, and then they get cut anyway. And it just makes for that kind of tough ending. But all right, Hard Knocks out of the way. Next, we've got Charlie Palillo for the next half hour. We're going to talk some Astros in the first segment. We're going to talk some Texans in the second segment. If you got things that you want to try and run by us while we got Charles in charge, or so he thinks, we'll be here with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I approve this message.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday as Charlie Palillo joins us, as he does every Monday, Friday, and Friday, 1:30 to 2. Charlie, welcome in. How's everything going?
Hi, boys. Let me pass along a question sent to me by a buddy of mine, not any sort of radio thing. You would think we could drop a bomb on the storm to break it up.
I've asked this before.
But
that makes no sense.
Was it the Chinese who you can seed clouds to facilitate more rain?
Yeah, chemtrails.
Should we have some sort of technology to disrupt the hurricane?
How are you going
to
drop a bomb through clouds?
Well, I don't think it literally meant a bomb, but some kind of way to orchestrate climatology.
I'm glad I'm not the only idiot that thinks this way, because I brought it up to Lisa to go ask some of their meteorologists. Because I thought about this, we've got so much technology with the ability to do certain things with firepower and missiles and everything like that. Could we not just send some major explosive right in the middle of this storm and kind of get it to disband somehow?
It's not how weather works.
I know you got a weather station at the house and everything.
That's not how weather works. You don't control weather.
I'd like to.
Well,
there's a lot of people freaking the heck out down there in Florida.
It's not how it works.
What did Mr. Freeze do on Batman? He didn't control the weather?
No, did he?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I'm trying to think.
You're thinking of Storm and X-Men.
Halle Berry and
Storm and the X-Men. She controlled the weather, right?
Well,
I was going to the Heat Miser, and I thought Mr. Freeze and what was that, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
There you go.
Yeah, get those guys to help
out. Cold Meister and Heat Meister.
Yeah, there you go.
How long has Dr. Neil Frank been retired now? Could this be a special project?
He's not.
They
keep bringing him back. You want to talk about something that is so intimidating for the other meteorologists? Every time there's a big storm, they bring Dr. Neil Frank back.
I'll be honest. I was going to tell Charlie he passed away. I had no idea.
And he still got the crew
cut.
Wait,
if you had no idea, then why are you going to tell me?
You know, because I had assumed since I hadn't heard from him, he was just gone. Like, gone. I just assumed he may be passed.
Dead or neither.
See, there's been several times on the show where I've been talking about someone and just, you know, having fun. And then either Nick or Joel will be like, yeah, you know, he's dead. I'll be like, oh, no. So now I just assume they're dead. That way I don't put my foot in my mouth making fun of a dead person.
Channel 11 trivia. Gifford Nielsen, dead or alive?
Alive.
I'm going dead.
Oh, robust. No, he's alive. Athletic director at BYU.
At BYU.
Well, I think you're wrong.
You might have quarterbacked him against LSU.
You got to prove it.
Possible. Yeah. You know, the thing is if you're the weather guy and they bring Dr. Neil Frank back, where's that in terms of your security blanket and your security level? Hey, we believe in you Monday through Friday when the weather's just Houston.
Out of the way,
but
Junior.
Boy, when the storm comes in, yeah, this older guy, he's got you. He can tell you some things. Don't worry about the crew cut and the dye job. He's going to give you info we can't get anywhere else.
Wow. It's a dye job.
If you look at him on the air, that ain't exactly.
You don't have to pretend. It's pretty obvious.
Speaking of old school broadcasters and rolling us into Astros talk, but Bob Allen getting inducted into the
Wall of Honor
at the Astros.
Cool.
Very cool, right? You guys, you saw him your whole life. You know him. I knew him. We knew him.
Give us your best Bob Allen story, Charlie.
I really don't have a best story I would only see him at games or practices. And
you're too good to hang out with Bob Allen or what? Years.
No, not at all. Conversely, he was well above my tax bracket.
Is he?
Oh, man.
Is Bob too good to hang out? I've heard.
No, really I don't mean dude, a snob no. factor. I just mean that our circles were not often concentric outside of at events, but
now
I always thought he was a great guy. And like all of these honors, it's like someone getting voted into the Hall of Fame after they're dead. It would be great if that person and his family and closest to them could enjoy it while alive.
Agreed.
But so be it.
Yeah, I'll say this about him though. I mean, we used to give him a hard time because
I've heard stories.
Big time Bob would only when we were for Rockets games, you'd only see Bob if the Bulls were in town. Or the Lakers were in town. Otherwise, he'd send someone else of his minions to go cover the game.
There's a lot of that in TV,
but,
I think.
Yeah, but that would get around. But
unless
I'll say
your name
this:
is Mark Berman.
Well, yeah, and then you could anytime you pull up a towel or a sheet or the garbage can, Mark Berman could be there because he's got to break everything. But
he is to the sports world what Jeff Van Gundy was to Alonzo Mourning's leg.
Yes, very true. Very good analogy.
You're not
there.
Shaking him no matter what.
I will say this about Bob Allen. Lisa said when he did make the last couple of years with KHOU, her favorite person, because off the air, his dirty jokes and his ability to make fun of himself and others was fantastic.
I liked his sarcastic sense of humor.
Yeah.
It had a Letterman type of feel to it.
He and Tim Melton were quite
yeah.
the 1-2 punch for you. That was Koufax and Drysdale in his
yep.
market.
Yeah. And he did
Verlander and Keuchel. Let me contemporize.
I was going to say, what's up with that?
But he did get the soapbox going. Instead of giving you the scores and the information, Bob would get –
he would
wasn't
do
afraid
a little commentary.
To go. Yeah.
Every once in a while, they'd actually throw up the graphic commentary.
Yep.
Otherwise, he'd just rip whoever he felt.
Real last name?
That I don't know.
Bob
Gelnick.
Allen?
Gelnick, I believe.
Really?
So he changed
something
it?
Like that. Oh, Bob Allen's easy.
Barry Warner would know that.
Well, so are you telling me if I'm going to make it and be
you think
big,
Dan
I need,
Patrick's name is Dan Patrick?
I need to get rid of Laminac and get something. I need to be like.
No, I figure your name is your name, and why do you want something more generic?
Well, because I want to
make
it.
Dan Patrick of radio TV. You know
do
what
you
his
think
real name is?
I should answer that question. Joel Blank. I can't get more generic than that.
But a good autograph name, 9 total letters.
But so Dan Patrick, so Patrick was the first name. Bob Allen, should I go like Barry Charlie?
Huh? Oh, like the old porn name?
Yeah.
The street
should I just
you grew
be
up
Barry
on
Charlie?
Well, I can't be Barclay Kensington. I'll stick with Joel Blank on that one.
Dan Patrick's real name is Dan Pugh.
No.
Oh, Pugh, you stink.
The
Pugh.
Lieutenant Governor.
Yeah, I would definitely change it then.
The broadcaster.
Oh, the Dayton alum.
Correct.
Got it.
I think he graduated.
I don't know. He went there. Okay, so we got Astros coming up. I just mentioned to Barry coming into this. Look, the Indians aren't going anywhere. Every game now important. You got to take – forget the division. You're going to win the division. But because of the fact that the Indians hold the tiebreaker, it's really only a two-game lead.
Three in a loss column, though. Right. You can add to your win total. You can't subtract losses.
Right, and I always go to the loss column, but we were just talking about it. But the fact of the matter is they've won 15 in a row. They're not going anywhere, and we've talked about the importance of home field, not just home field advantage, but more importantly, the matchups. The matchups and getting someone that's burnt their ace in a wild card game and such. Your take going into this series, because it looks like they're going to go long rotation for a little while, too, with the doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah, and to go specific with what you're talking about, the Astros, you want that best record. You want the wild card winner. You hope the Red Sox and Indians go five, and whether it's Corey Kluber or Chris Sale, they're pitching game five, and then they can't go against you until at least game three
right.
in the league championship series. And obviously, the hype around the Verlander acquisition, and he walked the walk in his first start. Corey Kluber is the best pitcher in the American League. In fact, right now, Corey Kluber is the best pitcher in baseball. He's absolutely dominating people. The Astros' offense is tremendous when clicking. Kluber is a better pitcher than the Astros have in offense. And cliche number one, good pitching beats good hitting, especially in October. You want to minimize the possibility of facing Corey Kluber, avoid him entirely in the division round, and then hope he's only available for one, maybe two starts in a league championship series and not until the middle of that series. This weekend favors the Astros. Oakland's horrible. It's a four-game series. As you noted with the off day yesterday and off day Monday, they have plenty of starting pitching to right. cover that. Baltimore's at least in the wild card race, so maybe the Orioles can win one at Cleveland in that three-game series. But this is the first time in the history of baseball there are winning streaks as long as 13 and 14 running concurrently. Arizona's won 13 in a row. It's too bad for them. The Dodgers were 6 miles ahead of them, or maybe we'd have a race there the way Arizona's going. And the Dodgers won no part of Arizona,
they can't
which is going
them.
To be in the wild card yeah. game, right? The Dodgers can't avoid playing Arizona if the D-backs win. The Astros can avoid facing Kluber or Sale in the first round by holding off the Indians. I still think they're the favorite. They have series left, four with Oakland and then three with the White Sox, the two teams that suck in the American League. Neither plays the Yankees. The Astros do have four with Boston. The Indians don't play Boston. So all in all, it's pretty even. You just hope it doesn't come down to that last series that the Red Sox are playing right. for something. The Astros are four at Fenway while the Indians are at home against the White Sox.
And by the way, those White Sox are the team that took two out of three from them in Chicago recently. Swept them, right. So they can't look past that either.
Yeah, we looked up a couple of days ago. I was looking at strength of schedule. I think the Indians have one of the easiest in the Astros.
You said the easiest, yeah.
Yeah, and the Astros have, I think they're middle of the pack as far as strength of schedule.
Yeah, that four at Boston's really the one that you go, ooh, that's a tougher draw than what the Indians
of course,
Indians
well, and their Achilles heel. And the Rangers, they got to go Rangers three and then Boston for four. So, yeah.
And from a common fan perspective, the under the radar, what you said about Kluber is spot on simply because, look, Kershaw got lit up the other night for best pitcher in baseball right now. He got lit up. Sale got lit up in his last start. And then everyone should be talking about the Diamondbacks. But because of the fact that the Indians have won 15 in a row,
town.
No one knows that J.D. Martinez went four bombs in a game and the Diamondbacks have won 13. Kurt Schilling was in here yesterday. He picked an Astros-Diamondbacks World Series. And now he's in.
What do you think he picks when he's on air in Chicago?
It's a good question. The Cubs with another run. But no, he was here yesterday and that was interesting. I heard Salisbury talk about the fact that he thought he loved the Verlander acquisition for the Astros, but he said, don't sleep on the Diamondbacks. And the only reason why the nation is sleeping on them is because the Indians have a 15-game streak.
They otherwise, sleep on them in Phoenix. I mean, they don't draw at all. But Greinke and a left-hander named Robbie Ray is ripping people up. Nobody wants to play them unless it's in the World Series, because then it means you're in the World Series.
Right. So there you go. We'll get to a little Texans talk in just a minute. Right now, I want to tell you about my good friends at American Wheel and Tire. They have been in the Houston area for over 15 years doing business and taking care of your wheels, your tires, your lift kits, and all kinds of stuff for your auto needs. And I'm telling you right now, go to AmericanWheelandTire.com and see some of the great things that they have done to cars and SUVs and trucks. And also, when you have a flat tire or you need tires or you need rims or you have a factory rim that needs repair, although you're being told it needs to be replaced, you can go to the honest people at American Wheel and Tire, and they're going to give you the honest answers and take care of everything without pulling the wool over your eyes. They're at 290 and 34th Street, just outside the Loop, and they're going to take care of you. If you get right now into American Wheel and Tire, you get four new tires. You get mounting and balancing. You also get a free Yeti 20-ounce tumbler if you just mention ESPN 97.5. And I'm telling you, Mike and Tammy Gust, along with Jason and Johnny and all the guys up front, they will personally take care of you. They will be honest with you up front, give you everything that's going on with your car, and they'll show you the big window where you can watch the work being done. And they're going to hope that you come back again and again because they're not going anywhere. They don't think you're going anywhere. And when you need something for your wheels and tires, you know exactly where to go. AmericanWheelAndTire.com or American Wheel and Tire at 290 and 34th Street.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects with our person of interest on Mondays and Fridays, Charlie Polillo, from 1:30 to 2 o'clock on Mondays and Fridays right here. Before the break, we touched on the Astros and the series this weekend in the Bay against Oakland. Now, of course, the focus turns to the boys down on Kirby as the red, white, and blue have the home opener and the season opener against the team they've beaten six straight games, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not Jaguars, Jaguars.
Amen.
God, it bothers me when people say that.
Does it?
It does. That means Barry will say it a lot. Yeah, more. There's a new nugget for Barry. There you go.
Oh, really now?
Yeah. But, well, I mean, I know that...
So you aren't a big fan of Chris Berman's affectation and...
Jaguars!
No. Every time he'd say it.
Yeah.
There, a lot Unless of the you're Bermanisms English and are got, driving one, then I guess I can accept Jaguar.
Jaguar.
Otherwise, it's Jaguar.
Even then, when they do the commercial, it's Jaguar. Not Jaguars.
Well, I would warn you guys, you're
the
Texas.
The Houston Cougars?
You're in Texas. Exactly. We're a bit different.
Thanks, well, Dale.
A lot of us will say Jaguars. We also, I mean, we say Icebox. We're different
we
down
We say
here.
Bubblers.
But the words are Icebox. If you said Icy Box.
No, but it's a refrigerator, not an Icebox, but we'll still call it an Icebox. I'm just telling
you. From the Midwest, we call drinking fountains Bubblers.
What's that street up on the north side? K-U-Y?
Yeah, that's the best to hear an out-of-towner try to pronounce.
Oh, boy. No question about it. But we talked about, and I go back to the Monday night game when New Orleans came back off of the disaster in the hurricane and had the Falcons, and it was just a crazy atmosphere, and they went nuts with Reggie Bush and company. Similar situation Sunday. I would think the roof's going to be blown off that place when Watt is introduced, and the home field should mean something early on.
When you have Clay Walker singing the national anthem.
Oh, boy.
Charlie, it is football time.
Why are you trying to anger me right now?
I think...
That's the worst.
It is football time in Texas.
Their marketing people have always been Super Bowl caliber over there, the way they've grown their business and made their ties in the communities. If O'Brien comes in, I want to introduce the offense.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure when J.J. Watt is introduced...
That wouldn't go over so well, yeah.
That might be... I don't know what the three loudest Texans moments... I'm pretty sure in the history of that stadium, I'm pretty sure I know two of them. One, when Watt returned the interception for a touchdown, the first playoff game just before the half against the Bengals.
Yep.
The other, 15 years ago,
tonight! Today, yep.
The 19-10 win over the Cowboys... That was something. The safety that put it away. And that's why, by the way, my pick is Texans 19, Jaguars 10 in an otherwise pretty blah football game. Two lousy offenses. One, we know, really good defense. And Jacksonville has the pieces, man. If that group is coached up well and stays healthy, that should be a really good defense. But I think they're Texans light. The offense is not good. The Texans are 6-0 against Blake Bortles. And, man, if they're not 7-0 against Blake Bortles –
Barry,
going to Cincinnati
players.
On the turnaround Thursday, then at the Patriots. At least they won't have to face Eric Berry when they play the Chiefs week five.
Look, I'm not going
to
sit here and try to tell you that the Jags have a great passing attack because they don't. And no knock against our buddy Keenan and the work he's doing with the wide receivers.
Right.
You don't give any credence to that running game because that's what this team – not a great O-line by any stretch of the imagination, but not terrible.
That's
not a terrible O-line.
Fournette says this, hey, it slows down in the NFL. I don't know what they're talking about. It's easy.
And then he had a foot injury in the next week. Yeah. They also hit harder.
You don't give any creams, though, to their running game? I mean, their O-line's not terrible. The running game is going to be, I think, as bad as people think. They've got a couple of guys.
Tom Coughlin dictating the operation and an old offensive lineman, Doug Marrone, Syracuse guy, as the head coach, they're going to want to, quote-unquote, ground and pound. They don't want the game in Bortles' hands. But I just think the Texans' front seven is stout enough that their defense is better than Jacksonville's offense, whichever approach the Jags want to take.
So people are going to say I'm crazy because I actually have the Jags making the wild card. Okay, so they're going to say I'm
plus
nuts.
You have the Jags making the wild card.
Yeah, but yeah, which is probably the kiss of death. But I think when you combine what that defense is capable of with a running attack that I think is, you know, I mean, I think it could be a top 10 running attack because they have a good defense and they want to play ball control. I think that gives them a better shot. I think people might be sleeping on this team. Call me crazy, but I do.
I don't think it's an insane pick because it's a league where a last place team winds up in the playoffs the next year every year. The last 2 years, a non-playoff team the year prior is in the Super Bowl the prior year. Stuff happens. I think the defense has a chance to be tremendous, fortified by A.J. Boye leaving the Texans for the Jaguars. I don't know how much he could give them in terms of, hey, here are audible calls or look for these tips offensively. And how much will Boye be opposite DeAndre Hopkins? The Jaguars certainly have two corners better than the Texans' top two wide receivers because it's DeAndre Hopkins and I just don't think Jacksonville's offense is going to be able to score.
Okay. But I mean, look, to what Barry's saying, I don't know if they're a playoff team or not. I wouldn't have picked them for this year. But what I do think is, and again, with Barry's point to be similar to the Texans in some ways, but look, I think they're a quarterback away from being a really talented team because aside from, like Barry said, Keenan, the receivers coach, but they went out and got D.D. Westbrook. We were talking about it in the break. He's just another guy that they add to a stable of guys that were great college receivers. Now, they got to prove it overall, but they haven't really had a guy deliver them the football, and I think they're stacked on running backs. I think they've done a little bit more to pay attention to their offensive line, and like you both said, their defense is really, really, really on the upcoming because of the fact that they've got so much young talent. If they could get a quarterback in there that could play, I hate the term game manager because everybody does, but that's what I've always said about Alex Smith.
And
but
it really
even a guy
shouldn't
like Alex
be thought
Smith
of as
on that team could make that team work.
Agreed. Blake Bortles, 3 years into his career, and one loss record for a quarterback. It's a little like a starting pitcher in baseball. It's not all about your performance, but Blake Bortles has thrown as many pick sixes as he has wins, 11 of each. And when they had Chad Henne just about taking his job in preseason, but then being Chad Henne, he kind of gave it back. The guy did throw Bortles, I mean, throw 35 touchdown passes 2 years ago, but how many of those were in blowout losses, garbage time? But Allen Robinson is a stud, and he's capable of getting behind that Texan secondary. Going back to your point, Barry, if Fournette can pound it, and they have to commit a safety to the box, just don't give up a cheap score to Robinson. The perennially lousy Texan special teams, don't give up a score in the return game. They should win this game, but when your offense is the Texans' offense until we see something better, the lower scoring the game, the more the chances are that one fluke play, one bad call, one bad break can swing it the other way.
What if it comes down to a field goal and your MVP from last year isn't around?
So you said you have the Texans winning at home. I mean, the line is, what, 5? Which, if you take away the 3 points that every NFL team gets
at home,
that tells you right there that I think Vegas, for the most part, considers these teams to be fairly equal in that they think the Texans are 2 points better than the Jags, which I don't know if it says a lot for the Jags or very little about the Texans, but either way, if you're a Texans fan, you don't want to be considered on the same level as Jacksonville
at
this point.
It's not a stunning upset if the Jaguars win a game. It would be a horrifying start to the Texan season, and then 0-3 could be staring them in the face, though they'd certainly have a good chance of winning at Cincinnati Thursday night.
But you mentioned that. That's another tough thing for them because, yeah, they're at home and all this emotion and everything else, and then they play, and they got a quick bounce back right away, Thursday night game, Cincinnati. They better be ready, or like you said, yeah, they could set up the Deshaun Watson era in a hurry because you know that they're going to be
here.
People clamoring.
Week 4. If you open your season with a home division loss to the joke franchise of your division, I doubt Super Bowl glory is in your future.
Mm-hmm. All right, Charlie.
But they're going to win.
We're
going to
do our picks later today. You're not going to be here for that, but I want to know who is your Super Bowl matchup and who wins.
Patriots over Packers.
Okay.
I don't like the over part, but
last
I'll take
night,
it.
Last night, notwithstanding, by the way.
Yeah.
And by the way, the other one that I was going to get to, it was your favorite player, but I'll see if, I'm sure you know, you and I play trivia all the time, but one of you guys will get this. First touchdown in Texans history in that game, anniversary of it, the Texans over the Cowboys.
Think I know.
Go.
Billy Miller.
Correct. Number 82.
My Billy, favorite player?
Billy Miller. I just a joke.
15 years ago tonight.
Why am I a
You
Billy
used
Miller
to be younger,
fan.
Joel.
I did, and so did you, Charlie.
Didn't we all?
The only difference is that you still probably had less hair than me. I don't know. I'm losing
my
quicker.
Wow.
All right, one in the books, two to go. Plenty more of the big show. Charlie, have yourself a great weekend. We'll
Thank
watch
you.
A whole bunch of football. See you again on Monday. We got 2 hours still in the windshield to cover and plenty more to get to. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.